may find helpful. We're not necessarily going to cover everything in the sheets. Don't panic. I'm not going to speak all evening. And feel free to get up and take food or drinks or whatever during the course of the shiur. It's fine. Does everyone who wants papers out? Okay, first of all, I thank Yoni Shankman and the staff of White Connect for inviting me here this evening. Having just completed the observance of Yom HaAtzmaut, whether you observed it today or yesterday, that dispute we won't go into tonight, but having just completed the observance of that holiday, I thought it would be appropriate, and so the organizers, to discuss a question. All of us who are here, I presume, live here in the United States. We don't live in Eretz Yisrael, but I imagine that most of us, not all of us, have visited Eretz Yisrael on numerous occasions. So I thought it might be interesting to look into the question of whether it's there's any kind of mitzvah to visit Eretz Yisrael. We live here, but we go from time to time, and the question is there any inyan, is there any halachic status to the idea of going to visit, to take a trip to Eretz Yisrael for a week, for 2 weeks, for summer, for whatever. So in order to understand that, we have to look a little bit into the question of what the nature of the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael is. So we start with the first source, a pasuk at the end of Chumash Bamidbar. It says in Perek Lamed Gimel, pasuk Nun Gimel, v'horashtem es aretz, we'll translate now, you'll inherit the land, v'yishavtem bo, and you shall live in the land, ki lochem nosati es aretz l'veshes oso. I gave, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I gave the land of Eretz Yisrael to you to inherit, to live in the land. That's what it says in the Chumash. So the Ramban comments in the second source, the Ramban, the regular Ramban on the Torah, the Ramban on that pasuk in the Chumash, says, etc. As you look at the first line of the second source, after the dash, it says, Al da'ati zu mitzvahs asei. The Ramban says, this is a mitzvah asei. This is one of the 613 mitzvahs, is to live in Eretz Yisrael. He translates the pasuk literally. It says, v'yishavtem bo, you have to go live in the land. So the Ramban says, in my humble opinion, this is a mitzvahs asei. Yitzava osam shieshu ba'aretz yishua sarkiyun asana lahem. Kadosh Baruch Hu is commanding the Jewish people to live in Eretz Yisrael and to inherit the land, to live in the land, because he's given it to us. V'lo yimasu b'nachas Hashem. We shouldn't find living in Eretz Yisrael something to be uncomfortable or negative. We should want to live in Eretz Yisrael. You can read the rest. Again, we're not going to go through every line here. But the Ramban is clear in his commentary on the Chumash that this is, in fact, one of the 613 mitzvahs. I printed this statement in source number 3, a long statement, which you're not going to read inside. But you can look at it. You're welcome to keep these sheets or not, whatever you like. But the Ramban over here, in his commentary on the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs, lists... the Rambam wrote a Sefer, most of you know, the Rambam wrote a Sefer HaMitzvahs. We have a tradition that there are 613 mitzvahs in the Torah. It doesn't say that anywhere in the Chumash. The Gemara mentions it, there are Midrashim that mention it, but we have that tradition of 613 mitzvahs. It's difficult sometimes to calculate how do we count a mitzvah. For example, there's a mitzvah to recite Kriya Shema in the morning and Kriya Shema in the evening. Is that one mitzvah with two parts? Let's say there's one mitzvah to recite Kriya Shema, and I have to recite it twice a day. Is that the mitzvah? Or the two different mitzvahs? One mitzvah to recite Kriya Shema in the morning. There's a different mitzvah to recite Kriya Shema in the evening. How do you count it? It doesn't matter practically. We do it anyways. But let's say, to take an exaggerated example, on Sukkot, is there one mitzvah to take a lulav and a different mitzvah to take an esrog and a different mitzvah to take hadassah and another mitzvah to take aravos? Oh no, there's one mitzvah to take four minim. Again, we do it in either case. But in terms of bookkeeping, it's a question how to count the mitzvahs. So the Rambam, among many others, wrote a work, a Sefer HaMitzvahs, which is available. We have it. It's been translated into English. And the Rambam goes through for how he figures out 613, exactly how the mitzvahs work. So the Ramban wrote a commentary on the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs where he disagrees. In some cases, he says that the Rambam shouldn't have counted this as a mitzvah. It's not. It's not. It's part of a different mitzvah. Other places, he thinks the Rambam left things out. So in source number 3, I printed the Hasagas HaRamban to the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvah. He calls it Shichacha HaSo'esim. He thinks there are mitzvahs I say that the Rambam forgot to count. Didn't forget. He didn't agree. But it means that he left off. He left off the list. So he says one of them, mitzvah Revi, is just the first line. Shenitztavino l'resh es haaretz. We were commanded to inherit the land and to drive out the inhabitants and so on. And he writes, He says, "Shasher nosan achis baruch yisala lavosein lavrom etzukal Yaakov." The lo na'azva biad zula seinam and omos. We're not supposed to leave this land under the sovereignty of any other nation in the world. It's our land. This has political ramifications, right? But as Ramban says, we have a mitzvah to maintain sovereignty over the land. Okay, we're certainly not allowed to let it lie lishmama, to let it lie desolate, and therefore we have to live. And he quotes that same pasuk in Parshas Maaseh, which I had in source number one. So the Ramban is consistent, both in his commentary on the Chumash and in his addenda to the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs, where he thinks the Rambam left out. There is a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. He goes on at great length to explain what the basis is, and we have to fight. That's called a Mechames Mitzvah. Sometimes we have to fight for our right to Eretz Yisrael. So that's what the Ramban writes. So he considers it absolutely a mitzvah, asay mido raisa, one of the 613 mitzvahs is to live in Eretz Yisrael. Then you have to ask the question, so what are me and you and everyone else, what are we all doing here? That's a different problem. But according to the Ramban, by the way, practiced what he preached. The Ramban went to Eretz Yisrael, he came from Spain originally. Most of you know the Ramban was once challenged to a debate by an apostate Jew, Pablo Cristiani, who wanted to prove from the Talmud and from other sources that in fact Christianity is the correct religion, and the Ramban was going to defend the Jewish position. And this was done in the presence of the King and Queen of Aragon, the King and Queen of Spain. It took place in Barcelona, called the Vikuach HaRamban. It's available. We had the Ramban kept records. We have it. It's translated into English also in the work of the writing and discourse of the Ramban. It's called Disputation at Barcelona. Very interesting read. But the Ramban clearly won the debate. So as a reward, he didn't get executed. Okay, he only got thrown out of the country. So he won, although apparently the king said, the king was a Christian, obviously, so we know which side he wanted to come out victorious. He said something to the effect of, I've never heard in my life such an eloquent and powerful defense of a wrong position. So he admitted that the Ramban, he argued pretty well. Anyway, the Ramban left Spain, he came to Eretz Yisrael. We have records of that. Those who have been to, you know, where they just rebuilt the Churva Shul, I haven't seen it yet, but you know, they used to have that arch in the old city. I haven't been back since they finished, but there's the Ramban Shul. You know, down the steps, I don't know what I'm talking about, the four shuls, there's one Ramban shul. The Ramban went to Eretz Yisrael. Not only went to Eretz Yisrael, but he started to try and encourage people to come to Eretz Yisrael in Europe. It didn't. But he writes records of his trip there. He said he can imagine he went to Yerushalayim and had trouble finding a minyan. That's how desolate Eretz Yisrael was of Jews in the 1200s. The Ramban couldn't find a minyan in Yerushalayim. Today they have a minyan in Yerushalayim in every corner. But in the Ramban's time, he couldn't find a minyan. Anyway, if the Ramban practically preached, it's a mitzvah saseh midoraisa. Tosus discusses in a different context, source number four, Tosus and Ksubas, and Daf Kuf Yoram at Beis. Tosus here discusses, the Gemara is discussing, this is a, you know, an event to get the young men and young women together. So, you know, sometimes the couples disagree. And I don't want to put a damper on the evening, but you know, yeah, sometimes you have couples who are married who disagree. So what happens if they disagree about going to Eretz Yisrael? One of them wants to move to Eretz Yisrael, one of them doesn't want to. Usually that's one of the things you discuss in advance. But let's say later on it comes up. So can you know, so the Gemara, Mishnah, the Gemara in the end of the last parak of Ksuba says that the whoever wants to go to Eretz Yisrael, that's who's in the right. And the argument, that's who wins the argument. Without going into details, that's who's right. Whoever wants to go to Eretz Yisrael, whichever one of the couple wants to go to Eretz Yisrael, that's who's right. And in that context, it's, yeah, I'm sorry.
I mean, he goes and she stays.
Well, the question is, the truth is, if he goes and she stays, so then he doesn't have to pay the ksubah. That has halachic ramifications. So again, I don't want to go into that now, but yeah, the fact is, whoever wants to go, whoever doesn't want to go to Eretz Yisrael, that's the one who's considered responsible. Let's say I'm married to my wife, I live in Teaneck, as announced before. So let's say one day I come home and I tell her I want to move to the North Pole. So she's pretty happy in Teaneck, she doesn't want to move to the North Pole. So I got to go to the North Pole. All right, so if we decide that it's enough, I want to go to the North Pole so badly, I'm going to divorce her, so I have to pay the ksuba, right? I'm considered to be the one at fault in terms of breaking up the marriage. And let's say if she wants to go to the North Pole, and I want to stay living in a Jewish community, so I don't have to pay the ksuba. She changes status quo, but if one in the Eretz Yisrael, that's who's always in the right. Anyway, Tosus comments in that context, in the fourth source, the Tosus says, Eino noeg bizmanazeh. That whole idea of running to Eretz Yisrael, that mitzvah doesn't apply today. That's what Tosus says. Why in the world not? So Tosfos says, "De'ika sakonos drachim," because it's dangerous to travel there. In those days, it was very dangerous. You know, people didn't, like today, people go to Eretz Yisrael for a bar mitzvah. I know someone went to Eretz Yisrael to make a shiva visit. I'm not joking. Went, you know, left on a Monday night, came back the next. So today, people hop back and forth all the time. But at one time, it was a big deal to go to Eretz Yisrael. You had to sit on a boat, and the boats were, you know, boats. Half the time, they sunk, and then you had, you know, trouble at sea, and so on and so forth. It was a big thing to go to Eretz Yisrael. It wasn't like today. So the days of the Balei HaTosfos in the 1200s, the 1300s, 1100, so the Tosus writes, today we can't tell people living in Europe to go to Eretz Yisrael. It's dangerous. Sakonas drachim. And then he says, furthermore, Vahayomer Rabbeinu Chaim, that's not Rabbeinu Chaim Soloveitchik, that's Rabbeinu Chaim, one of the Balei HaTosos, Rabbeinu Chaim HaKohen. So he writes, the Achshav Eino Mitzvah Lodur Be'eretz Yisrael, Ki Yesh Kama Mitzvah Satchus Boretz, Kama Onshin De Eino Nichol Mizor Behem Lamod Aleihem. Tosus says the Jews are going to go to Eretz Yisrael. There are all kinds of laws about Shemitah and about Truma and different things which the average person can't keep. You know, it wasn't like today we have an established community. Tosus says you're going to go to Eretz Yisrael and then you're not going to be able to farm the land every 7 years. And what are you going to live off of? Today you live off import and exported products. What are you going to live off then? It's not practical. So that's what the Balei Tosus wrote. The mitzvah doesn't apply. So from here, the implication is that there's an agreement that there is a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. But these we shown them hold that it's not applicable today. Right? At least when they were writing. The Trumas Hadeshin, in source number 5, also mentions this this idea. And one of the, he says, not only that, but he says, unfortunately, if you look on the third line of source number 5, he says, Omnam shamanu kama pamim sheish lasham bnei bris me'arabiyim. There are Arabs there, right? And they're Rishoyim Gemurim, and they cause trouble, and they mess up the Jews who want to live there and keep the mitzvahs and so on. That always was a problem. So that's another concern. It's dangerous. In those days, it was dangerous to live there. You had a small Jewish community, and they were always at the whim of the non-Jews who were in the land. So again, the Trumas Hadeshin is also saying, other Rishonim say it too. I mean, there's a lot more than what's on the paper. I'm just trying to go through some of the principal sources. This group of Rishonim can agree fundamentally that there's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, but not today. It was too, in the day when they were writing, they thought it's too difficult. It's too it is too difficult to travel there, or it's dangerous to live there, or things along those lines. So therefore, the mitzvah is not really applicable anymore. Other Rishonim have a different derech. This is suggested by some Achronim, the Ritva. The Ritva is a Rishon in his commentary on Maseches Yuma. He says, we've been driven into Golos. Right? Yeah, there one time there was a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. The Torah, there was a mitzvah to go into Eretz Yisrael. But once we were driven out of Eretz Yisrael with the destruction of Beis HaMikdash, so then all bets are off. Then we're in Golos, we're supposed to be in Golos. So that's how the Ritva writes. In the sixth source, the Ritva writes, he says, this Isser, to leave Eretz Yisrael and so on, he writes and talks about going back to live in Egypt. The Pasuk says in Chumash, you're not allowed to go back to live in Egypt. So the Rambam lived in Egypt, others lived in Egypt. How do we justify that? It says, lo so sifu, you're not allowed to go back to live in Egypt. So there's a question, how did people go do it? So the Ritva writes, in this source in Yuma, the Ritva in Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, Dur Masra Alexandria Shal Mitzrayim, so the Ritva writes that Isser was only in effect when when Jews were not in Golos, when we're not allowed to willingly leave out, we're driven out. They look at the last 2.5 lines. V'anochon Yosef she'eino Yisrael hula b'zman she'Yisrael shurul ha'mosam avo b'zman hazeh she'nigzar alein liyis nidochim v'chol kitzve aretz. We've been, unfortunately, the decree is upon us to go wandering around, as the Jews have done for so many centuries. So then, all of Chutz are the same. It doesn't matter. Egypt doesn't matter. Anyone else? Unfortunately, mitzvah doesn't apply. So the Avnei Nezer in the source number 7, the Avnei Nezer was the Sachachover Rebbe, great Hasidic Rebbe, was the son-in-law of the Kotzke Rebbe. Probably the father was more famous, but he has a collection of genius. The Avnei Nezer, he has a collection of tshuvas called Avnei Nezer, the Eglei Tal. Those who studied Masechet Shabbos may recall the Eglei Tal on Shabbos, written by the same person. The Avnei Nezer in a long essay about this mitzvah. The Avnei Nezer was asked. He was a Hasidic Rebbe, so he was asked, is there a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael today? And if there is, so what are you, Rabbi, doing here in Europe? How come you don't go? And all the other great Hasidic Rebbe, how come no one goes to Eretz Yisrael? That's what he was asked. So he has a long tshuva about it. In the context of this tshuva, he quotes this ritva, and he says that he doesn't think, he quotes this ritva, and he understands from this ritva that there is no, if you live in Eretz Yisrael, then there's a question about leaving. But if you don't, there's no mitzvah b'zman hazeh. The mitzvah was at a different time. That's how some explain. There's a sefer called Megillas Esther. Besides the Megillas Esther from Purim, there's a sefer called Megillas Esther, which is a commentary on the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs. I mentioned before, the Ramban sometimes attacks the Rambam, he disagrees. So the Megillas Esther was written by somebody whose mother's name is Esther, so he named his work after his mother. That's why it's called the Megillas Esther, nothing to do with Purim. So the Megillas Esther defends the Rambam against the criticisms of the Ramban. Printed in the regular editions of the Sefer HaMitzvah of the Rambam. It's printed on the Ramban's commentary on the side, and the Megillas Esther defends this. So he defends the Rambam. He says, because the Ramban wrote, like we saw before, that the Rambam forgot to include the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. So the Megillas Esther, no, he didn't forget to include it. He holds it's not a mitzvah anymore today. It was a mitzvah only at that time, and now it was driven into Golos. until the days of Mashiach, you know, it should happen soon, but until those days, there's no mitzvah anymore. That's why the Rambam doesn't count it. So he also said, I have another group. So we had so far a group of authorities who hold that there is an absolute mitzvah, say, Nidor Raisa, one of the 613 mitzvahs to live in Eretz Yisrael. Then we had some Rishonim who hold, well, there is a mitzvah, but it's too difficult, it's not practical, it's not one of the things you have to give up your life for. You're going to go live in Eretz Yisrael, and you're going to go travel, and the boat's going to sink, and it's too dangerous to travel there, or it's too dangerous to live there because there's so many Arabs and whatever who cause trouble. So the mitzvah doesn't apply anymore. Okay, that's the second group. Then there's a group, no, the third, who say that the mitzvah doesn't really apply anymore because in the meantime we're still in Golas. Rashi, source number 8, Rashi learns that whole pasuk differently. The whole pasuk that we started with, which the Ramban builds his thesis on, Rashi says, "Ahor Hashem es ha'aretz." He says, "V'ho'ah Hashem osam yosheh ve'oz yishavtem ba tuchlu liskayem ba." He says, "You drive out the other inhabitants. Not that you have to live, but you'll be able to live. It's like a bracha. It's telling you, yeah."
Sorry, just according to the opinions that say it's a mitzvah, but now it's not practical.
Right.
It's dangerous.
Right.
So would that mean, therefore, that today would be an avera? Because if you're going to a dangerous situation, like there's some settlement.
Yeah, so that's a different shia. It's a very good question. Is it permissible to go live, let's say, out on the hilltop someplace, surrounded by six Arab villages, living? It's a good question, and there's a machlokas about it. It's not so pashut. If you go to Waiyutar, earlier this year I gave a shia on that subject. It's called "The Living in Eretz Yisrael Under Difficult Circumstances." That's a question. It's a good question. Yeah.
I remember the Gemara where it says that.
Right, so there are different reasons why you're allowed to leave Eretz. One of them is to be able to get married, one is to be able to learn better, right? But that, right, there are exceptions, or if a person feels he's gaining more in Torah and Chutzar, it's right. So, correct, there are reasons. I'm just trying to talk in general to understand what is the mitzvah of going to, you know, the mitzvah of going to Eretz Yisrael. But Rashi here, if he translates the pasuk, Rashi doesn't learn this as an obligation. What Rashi's saying is that it's a good thing to go drive out the enemy, so you'll be able, it's like a bracha, it's like a haftacha, because Baruch Hu's telling us what's going to happen. But it's not a mitzvah. Some say it's a mitzvah d'rabbanan, or I printed on the page of Tshuva Ramosha Feinstein, source number 9. Ramosha Feinstein writes in the Tshuva, he says, well, you know, we have different kinds of mitzvahs. Sometimes we have a mitzvah that's called a mitzvah chiyuvis, right? It's an obligation. You must eat matzah on Pesach. Right, you must put on tefillin. The men must put on tefillin every day. There's certain mitzvah obligatory, a mitzvah chiyuvis. Other kind of mitzvah is called a mitzvah kiyumis, where you get a kiyum, you fulfill a mitzvah, but you don't have to go running around looking for that mitzvah. I'm not a chiyuv to go running around looking for sick people to go visit. Right, there's a big mitzvah, bikur cholim, but I don't have to make sure every day that I find some sick people. It's a nice thing, people who volunteer their time, and I'm not taking away from it. But it's not the same. Pesach night, you have to eat matzah. By hook up, some way, you got to make sure you get matzah. To go be Menachem Avol, Rachman Atzam, by somebody is also a mitzvah, but I don't have to, you know, it's not the same category of mitzvahs. And I'm overgeneralizing, but that's what the Ramosha Feinstein writes. He says, some mitzvah, he said, living in Eretz Yisrael, you get a kiyum ha-mitzvah. You fulfill a mitzvah by living there, but it's not obligatory. Now, so far, I've glossed over the Rambam's position. Okay, we mentioned that the Rambam doesn't count in his list of the mitzvahs, the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. There's a tremendous amount of literature trying to understand what is the Rambam's actual position. Does he hold there's no mitzvah? Does he hold maybe Ramosha Feinstein told him it's a kiyumis, not a mitzvah chiyuvis? There's a whole genre almost. You know, there are many articles trying to figure out what is the position of the Rambam. Now, the fact is the Rambam in several occasions clearly, first of all, I didn't print on the page, but in the end of Hilchos Malachim, the Rambam writes, in glowing terms, the Rambam wrote some beautiful language, in glowing terms, how important it is to live in Eretz Yisrael, to, you know, really you can't fulfill the mitzvahs properly anywhere else, and so on and so forth. And other halachic areas, I printed in the tenth source, he tells that Gemara, he quotes that Gemara, your first, that Gemara in Ksubas that we mentioned, he says, Mechutz l'aretz l'Eretz Yisrael, kofin lalos, right? We force a person. We try the bezin, the wife wants to move to Eretz Yisrael, husband doesn't. We try to force him to go to Eretz Yisrael. He's supposed to go to Eretz Yisrael, okay? And the afilu, you asked about Torah, afilu min nove yafil, nove ro, right? Yeah, I live in the chutzlar, I have a nice big house. I mean, I find some apartment, you know, and upstairs in Yerushalayim, you know, it's half falling apart and the lights don't work. So in America, I have a beautiful home. The mom doesn't matter. even if you go from a beautiful place to a, you know, to a not such a beautiful place. And even you look at the second line, astounding comment. Afilam in Mokum Sharuba Yisrael, a Mokum Sharuba Goyim. Even I live in Teaneck, I live in Muncie, and you know, in the five towns or whatever, Baruch Hashem, beautiful Jewish communities. I'm gonna go to Eretz Yisrael, live someplace in the Negev or somewhere in the Galil, there mostly non-Jews there. Rambam says doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. It's still better to go to Eretz Yisrael. So clearly he understands that there's a mitzvah, some kind of mitzvah to go to Eretz Yisrael. He writes in an astounding comment Hilchos Shabbos based on a Gemara in Gittin, number 11. The Rambam writes, if you're purchasing a home in Eretz Yisrael from a non-Jew, you're allowed to tell the non-Jew to write the shtar on Shabbos. You go to the lawyer and you tell him you can write it up on Shabbos. Now, we don't usually allow writing on Shabbos for a Jew. And not only is a Jew not allowed to write on Shabbos, you're not allowed to tell a non-Jew to write on Shabbos. But the Rambam passage, based on Gemara in Gittin, that you're allowed to tell a non-Jew to write. You're not allowed to write yourself on Shabbos. That's true. Except in emergency, but life and death. But here you can tell the non-Jew. And he says, why? Because Amira Lagoy, telling a non-Jew to violate Shabbos, that's a rabbinic injunction. It's Midi Rabbanan. And since here you have an opportunity to buy lands from a Goy, and what if you wait till after Shabbos? Maybe he'll change his mind. Fine, you never know. The guy will change his mind. His Arab neighbors will get to him. You better not sell to that Jew. So chaparayin, you're allowed to violate what would ordinarily be considered a violation of Shabbos, is suspended for Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So what? Why taka doesn't the Rambam count living in Eretz Yisrael as one of the six? He speaks about, you know, it's important, and you can even violate Shabbos. You can even do what otherwise would be considered a violation of Shabbos. So what's going on? So the Avnei Nezer, again, in that same tshuva, it's a long, long tshuva, okay, and even on the page here it's long, but the Avnei Nezer gives an answer. The Avnei Nezer says the following. The Avnei Nezer writes that a very ingenious chap, I'm not going to read inside, I'm going to save time, and he quotes some of the things we mentioned, but the Avnei Nezer suggests the following, the Sacher Tshuva Rebbe. He says, you know, there is a mitzvah that everybody agrees that the Rambam does count. Namely, the mitzvah to drive the seven nations out of Eretz Yisrael, right? You know that the Kanani, the Chiti, the Amori, that whole group, right, was living in Eretz Yisrael. So the mitzvah to drive them out. Excuse me. And the Rambam counts that mitzvah. It's one of Taita Posek, right? Hacharein tacharimein. So utterly wipe them out. You can try and make peace. Get rid of them. Okay, get rid of them. So says the Avnei Nezer, get rid of them for what purpose? That the land should be empty? Obviously get rid of them so that the Jews can move in. So says the Avnei Nezer, that's why the Rambam doesn't count it as a separate mitzvah. Of course he agrees. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa. He doesn't disagree with the Ramban. He only disagrees on a bookkeeping note. He says it's not counted as a separate mitzvah because it's already subsumed. And the Avnei Nezer proves that's one of the Rambam's rules. And I'm not going into details fully now, but that's exactly one of the things which the Rambam says. You know, let's say we have the Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdash, right? So is there a separate mitzvah to build the Aron, to build the Menorah, and to build the Mizbeach, and to build the curtains, and to build... Or is there one mitzvah, right? So it's the same thing here, the Avnei Nezer writes. The Rambam holds it, it's a Doraisa as well, for sure. And it's one of the 613 mitzvahs for sure. It doesn't count as a separate mitzvah, right? It's subsumed under something else. That's how the Chazon Ish explained also. Everybody agrees there's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so having said all of that, and by the way, that's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch also, in source number 13, right, he quotes that Gemara, that whoever goes to Eretz Yisrael, that's who's right. Okay, so now the question is, all right, so what's our excuse here? So we'll have to come back to that. But what about if we live here already, is there any inyan to visit Eretz Yisrael? Is there some kind of a mitzvah to visit Eretz Yisrael? So in order to understand that, I think you have to understand, what is the purpose, or what's behind the mitzvah of settling in Eretz Yisrael? On some level, it's a mitzvah. Either like the Ramban says, it's a d'oraisa, it's one of the 613. Or like we explained, the Rambam, it's not an independent mitzvah, but it's still absolutely required. Or some say it's, you know, it's a mitzvah kiyumis as opposed to mitzvah. But there is some mitzvah quality to it, right? Or what once was a mitzvah, and maybe now it's dangerous, and you could argue that today, where it's not so dangerous, maybe the mitzvah is back in effect. In the days of the Balaitosis, it was dangerous. In our days, not so dangerous. We all travel there all the time. So what's the idea behind it? So it's very interesting. There's a tshuva in source number 14 from the Tash Beitz. Again, I want to be shown him. He says like this. He says, look at the first two lines of source 14. He says, there are different aspects of the Kedusha. First of all, Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha, that we know. No one disputes. But he mentions that at the end of the first line of 14, Kedushas mitzvot, bein bezu, v'chiv ha'alah, hu mitnei Kedushas mitzvot, v'sham hu mitzvot dir b'vad. He says that the idea that there are a number of mitzvot that apply only in Eretz Yisrael. right? So the idea of going to Eretz Yisrael, that the Tashbetz explains it, is in order to be able to do all of the mitzvahs that apply only in Eretz Yisrael. In other words, the purpose of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is to enable you to go and fulfill those mitzvahs. You can't do in Chutz Lars. I can put on tefillin in Chutz Lars, I can eat matzah in Chutz Lars, I can hear shofar in Chutz Lars, but there's no truma, right? There's no meiser, there's no shmita. I mean, certain aspects may apply, imported products or whatever, but I mean, you don't have those mitzvahs, right? But the Tashbetz says there are certain things which are unique to the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, and you can't replicate that. We can build beautiful shuls and have wonderful communities and learn and everything else, but there are certain mitzvahs which just you can't do unless you're living in Eretz Yisrael. So what the Tashbetz seems to be saying is that the purpose of, or one purpose anyway, the mitzvah of going to Eretz Yisrael is to be able to do mitzvahs you can't do anywhere else. And he brings a proof in source number 15, the Gemara says in Baba Basra, when are you allowed, under what circumstance are you allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael? So one thing is economics. Right, if the price is, some people can't live there. It's so expensive and so on. And so he says, Elam can undo sosayim besela, ain yotzi meretz chutzaretz, and so on and so forth. And he says, you know, it's coming up to Shavuos, right? You know, from Shavuos, the second day, we read Megillas Rus. It's the beginning of Megillas Rus. What happened? Right, Elimelech, the wife of the husband of Naomi, and the two sons, Machlechin. What do? They skipped town. They left. And the Gemara here says, you can read it inside, it says they were punished because they left Eretz Yisrael, even though there was a famine. But they abandoned Eretz Yisrael. They're not supposed to do that, right? That wasn't enough of a consideration at that time. In any event, why can't you leave Eretz Yisrael? So look at 16, the Rashbam. In Maseches Bava Basra, most of the Maseches Bava Basra, in the third paragraph, there's no comment of Rashi on the page. His grandson, the Rashbam, wrote the commentary. That's why Bava Basra is so long. Bava Basra is the longest Masechta that we have in terms of pages, because the Rashbam did not have his grandfather's gift of brevity in writing. One of Rashi's great geniuses is Rashi was able to, in just a few key words, you know, present a lot of information. Not everyone has that gift. The Rashbam didn't have it. The great Talmud Chacham, obviously, but he was long. That's why there's so much long Rashbams in Bava Basra. Anyway, but here's a short one. We got lucky tonight. A short one. In source number 16. Ein Yotzin, why? Shemafkia Atzmo Min HaMitzvos. Because you're excluding yourself from being able to do, so you're going to leave Eretz Yisrael, you're going to be able to do less mitzvahs, by definition. Some mitzvahs you'll be able to do. You can keep Shabbos, you can keep kosher, you can put on tefillin, you eat matzah, you hear shofar, but the other mitzvahs you can't do. So you see the Rashbam is also saying, what's the idea of living in Eretz Yisrael? To observe the mitzvahs that are there. And the truth is, they quote as well a Gemara in Maseches Sota. The Gemara says, Moshe Rabbeinu, we learned, wasn't allowed in Eretz Yisrael, right? And he pleaded, and he begged, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again, please let me go in, V'aschan HaShem, 515 tefillos, please let me into Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara finally asks, what do you want? I mean, what was the big deal? I mean, okay, yes, and no, he can't go. I mean, why did Moshe Rabbeinu so much, why did he want so desperately to go into Eretz Yisrael? The Gemara says, V'chilecho m'piyah hutzoy, what, he wanted to taste a Jaffa orange? Want to have shawarma at the Tachan America? What was his big thing? You wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael to eat? You know, what's going on? Okay, I mean, so he says, because there are mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael that I can't do here. He wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael to be able to mekayim more mitzvahs. So what do you see? That an idea of going to Eretz Yisrael is in order to be able to fulfill additional mitzvahs. Okay, the Meshachach one's a different one, we'll leave that out. So that's one angle among Mefarshim, that the reason behind the mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael is to allow you to what? To do more mitzvahs that don't apply anywhere else but. However, others, starting with the Maharit, source number 19, and others say no. There's an independent mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. That itself is a mitzvah. Right? That's what the Meshach Chacham hinted at. Okay, what does the Gemara ask? Why did Moshe want to go into Eretz Yisrael? What do you mean, why? Because the mitzvah to go live in Eretz Yisrael. That's why. That itself is a mitzvah, right? So there are others who say, the Maharit and others point out, that no, going to Eretz Yisrael is in itself a mitzvah. And this relates to different places in Eretz Yisrael and so on. And he says, even places where certain mitzvahs don't apply, I don't go into details now because it's late and I don't hold one up here, but the Rambam and Hilchos Sanhedrin in source 20, the Radvaz in source 21, they mention that, you know, you can only give smicha, the real smicha. I don't want to be guilty of fraud here, but I'm not really a rabbi. Sorry. I have smicha from YU, but I'm not really a rabbi. In fact, nobody nowadays is really a rabbi. I don't want to, you know, burst in his bubble, but that's the reality. Why? Because the real, we are rabbis, we don't have the real smicha. The real smicha is not to have a chag smicha YU. The real smicha is you had an unbroken chain, starting from Moshe to Yeshua, you know, it was unbroken. So meanwhile, it's been broken. So no rabbi today, not the greatest, not the chief rabbi of Israel, not the greatest, doesn't mean they're not qualified, but it means no one has the real smicha today. So the real smicha can only be given in Eretz Yisrael, and so that's what the Rambam was talking about there in Hilchos Sanhedrin, and the Radvaz comments that there are certain places in Eretz Yisrael where are not considered Kedushas Arts or Trumas and Maishas, but it still has Kedushas Arts from other aspects. You put all this together, and these Rishonim and Achronim are saying that even if you can't do a mitzvah, there's still an inyan to go to Eretz Yisrael. There's still a Yishuv Eretz Yisrael even without the mitzvah. So we have two different strains. I'd like to suggest that maybe that's the Machlokes, the Rambam and Rabban. The Rambam, you know why the Rambam doesn't count living in Eretz Yisrael as a separate mitzvah? Because he holds, it's what we call in halachic lingo, a hechsher mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. The mitzvah is to give truma and to observe shmita and to do all these other mitzvahs. So he doesn't count living in Eretz Yisrael as a separate mitzvah because it is really a mitzvah which is afsher, which enables other mitzvahs to be done. That's why it doesn't count separately. So the Rambam perhaps aligns himself with those opinions that we saw, who hold that the whole reason of a Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is to be able to do more mitzvahs. So the Rambam counts all those mitzvahs, counts Truma and Shemitah and all that. It doesn't count living in Eretz Yisrael, that just enables you to do those other mitzvahs. Whereas Ramban might align himself with the other opinions that we said, and said, no, even without the mitzvahs, it's an independent Indian to live in Eretz Yisrael. Well, once we've said all of that, now I think we can bring it over to the issue of visiting Eretz Yisrael. The Mogen Avram, the Shulchan Aruch talks about in Source 22, Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Shabbos. The Shulchan Aruch talks about somebody taking a boat ride. In those days, it was dangerous again, so you're not supposed to take a boat ride right before Shabbos or even within 3 days before Shabbos because, you know, you might get seasick and have to violate Shabbos. Again, the details are we don't have to go into now, but that's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, right? Whether it's a boat ride or it's a caravan in the desert and so on. So if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, it says if you're going to Eretz Yisrael, right, on the source 20, the source number 22, the third line, Ha'ol Eretz Yisrael, if you have an opportunity to go to Eretz Yisrael, Im Nizdam Lelo Shair, if you got a caravan, Afilu Be'erev Shabbos, even Friday, Kevan D'Dvar Mitzvahu, it's a mitzvah, then you're allowed to go even on Erev Shabbos, try and make a deal with them to stop traveling on Shabbos, but even if they don't, it's Pikuach Nefesh and whatever else. But we see from here, Shulchan Aruch calls it a Dvar Mitzvah, says the Mogen Avraham, and here's our issue, right here, black on white in Source 23. The Ohr says, V'dafka al derech lehisyashe, only if you're going there to live. But then he says, V'yesh omrim afilu al menas lahachzi, even if you're coming back, even if you're only going to visit. Kevan dafilu mehalech dalet amos, that's what dalet amos stands for, dalet amos, beret so mitzvahi. The Mogen Avraham quotes, even walking a few yards in Eretz Yisrael, that itself is a mitzvah. The Mogen Avraham quotes two opinions. Is the only mitzvah to go live there, and there's no halachic standing to go, you can go visit there, but there's no halachic, or no, there's even a halachic validity to go, or a halachic requirement, or a mitzvah of some sort, to go just walk a little bit in there, to be in Eretz Yisrael. So that's the question. And the Rabbah others talk about it. I'd like to suggest again, and we won't be the source of this late, but I'd like to suggest again, that maybe this question revolves around the same issue we just analyzed. If the issue of Eretz Yisrael is an independent mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, so then you could say, okay, that's only if you live there. If you're going there for 2 weeks, you know, and you're coming right back, maybe that's not anything. But if the mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is enabled to do mitzvahs, well, wait a minute. When you're there for 2 weeks, guess what? You got to give truma, you got to take care. You know, you'll be able to do those mitzvahs, you know, 2 weeks or 2 months or summer, whatever it is that you're there, you can do those mitzvahs. So maybe the question, I'm going to promise 2 days, maybe the question of whether there's a mitzvah to visit Eretz Yisrael really revolves around our question of what the nature of the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. The mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael is a separate independent mitzvah, so then you could argue that's only if you live there. That's living there, but to go and visit for a couple weeks or a couple months even, that's not a mitzvah. But if the purpose of going to Eretz Yisrael is to enable you to do certain mitzvahs, you can't do it. Well, when you're in Eretz Yisrael, you've all gone to the Shiva. Those who've been to Eretz Yisrael, I'm sure most, probably everyone here has, or you've gone to Machane Yehuda, or you've gone to the Shuk in Mei Sharm, you see that, you know, there's a sign that the Chumas and Mises were taken from here, or if not, you have to take it yourself, and, you know, those are all mitzvahs that you can only do in Eretz Yisrael. Right? I mean, then if you're there during a Shemitah year, then you have special garbage cans and space, you know, those who've been there, you know all about it, right? So I'm saying you have that opportunity whether you're living there or not. So maybe the question of whether there's a mitzvah to visit Eretz Yisrael revolves around this question of what is the mitzvah to settle in Eretz Yisrael. I would just add, and that's what, you know, some suggest, I would just add the following thing. The last source I print on the page, well, this will finish, the Avnei Nezer. I mentioned before, the Avnei Nezer was asked, the Sacher Tshuva Rebbe, he was asked, is there a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael? So he says, yes, certainly according to Ramban. And he has that ingenious interpretation, even the Rambam agrees there's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, because the only reason it doesn't count it is because it's subsumed under the mitzvah to drive out the present inhabitants. You don't want to drive them out just so the land lies empty. You drive them out, you move in. So then they said to Rabbi Nezer, okay, Rabbi, what are you doing here in Poland? Okay, why don't you go to Eretz Yisrael? So Rabbi Nezer, oh, something, genius chap. He says, well, the thing's like this. I'm going to go to Eretz Yisrael. He's living in the late 1800s, okay, or early 1900s, actually, okay. So you're going to go to Eretz Yisrael. So what am I going to live off of? How am I going to support myself? Okay, so Chassidish Rebbe, so the Chassidim will send him, cash from Chutz Laretz. What am I going to do with that? He says, I'm getting my support from Chutz Laretz. That's not called living in Eretz Yisrael. Living in Eretz Yisrael is not parking your body in Eretz Yisrael. Living in Eretz Yisrael means you're supporting the economy. He said it's owned by Arabs, or it's owned by the British. So what am I supporting? The British economy. That was in his days. Okay. So therefore, he brings an interesting raya. He says that when Yaakov Avinu came back from the house of Lavan, he quotes Rashi and Chumash, Yaakov Avinu comes home from the house of Lavan, he got rid of all the money. He made a pile. He got rid of all the wealth that he accumulated by it. Rashi quotes, Ein nichsei chutzarts kedaili. He's coming back into Eretz Yisrael. He wants to live off the land, off the fat of the land, and not off money that he made, in Chutz Laretz. So that's what Avnei Nezer says. So therefore, that's not. I wouldn't be mekayim in the mitzvah anyways. So I would add, with due reverence, to Avnei Nezer, that's not true anymore today, because today you go there, you're supporting a Jewish economy, you're supporting a Jewish country. The whole relevance, in my opinion, or the major relevance of the 5th of Iyar, of Yom HaTzmaut, is that we reestablish Jewish sovereignty in Eretz Yisrael. That, to me, is the whole, without all the politics aside, what are we celebrating on Yom HaTzmaut? What are we celebrating the 5th or the 6th of Iyar this year, whatever, whichever day you celebrate? What are we celebrating? We're celebrating the reestablishment of Jewish sovereignty in the land, which hadn't existed, for centuries since the Churban. Right, it's an amazing thing. I don't even see how anyone can, cannot appreciate it. I understand that the Jewish sovereignty is not necessarily they're not Shomer Torah mitzvahs and all that. I understand all that. But, in ancient times, they weren't all the greatest people. Those who studied Navi know that in the days of the Melachim and before the Shoftim, they always didn't have great tzaddikim either running the country. But that's another point now, not for politics now. But we reestablish Jewish sovereignty. So Mamele Avnei Nezer's time is not a time. We're supporting the British, we're supporting the Turks. Not true anymore, we're supporting Jews. So I think one can argue that today, even if you go to Eretz Yisrael for a few weeks or for a few months, you spend time there and you're buying and selling, you're doing things there in the country, so you are being the kind of mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, because you're supporting, a Jewish economy. So Mamele, again, I think either way, first of all, it gives you the opportunity to do more mitzvahs, and even if you want to hold that Yishuv Eretz Yisrael really means only live there, and the Avnei Nezer is to live off the land, I think maybe things are different than in the days of the Avnei Nezer. It's not that long ago, but it's different today because of the Jewish economy. And I know people, Baruch Hashem, I know people who, people have to be able to afford it, but people who go to Eretz Yisrael, and they make a simcha there, whatever, maybe they dafke want to do it in the country and over there to support, I know certain people who go as often as they can, just, that they buy things there and they do, because that's their way of saying, they come back here in America. Okay, they're not able to, whatever, there are all kinds of reasons why they can't go. But they support the economy. They support, and it's a Jewish economy. That's not a British or a Turkish economy. So Mamela, it would seem to me that one can make a strong case that the Bizman HaZeh, certainly you go to Eretz Yisrael, so you have the opportunity to live off of, to be mekayim those mitzvahs that apply there. And even besides that, you can have a share in Yishuv HaAretz by participating in the Jewish economy, by buying and selling, and you get food there, and you take taxis there, whatever you do, and you contribute to the economy. That, says the Avnei Nezer, that's the ikar of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. It's not just a matter of where your body is parked, it's a matter of contributing to the country. So I think that a strong case can be made, at least from this perspective, that there is a mitzvah, those of us who can't live in Eretz Yisrael for whatever other consideration we have in life, but to go visit Eretz Yisrael would also be some sort of a mitzvah. Thank you for listening. Wish everybody a good evening.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Telvis.
Thank you.
Excellent. In the interest of time, if you have any questions, I guess Rabbi Telvis will stick around for a couple minutes.